City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Oh, I like that.
I'm Amy Matheny. This Queer Cast is brought to you in part by
Bud Light. Bud Light keeps it coming.
American Airlines, offering the GLBT community exciting vacation packages online at aa.com/rainbow.
And by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit broadwayinchicago.com.
To the Windy City Queer Cast, show number 194. I'm Amy Matheny, joined by my mother-in-law.
Hello.
Mitchell Fain.
Hey, Amy.
Hi, baby. How are you?
I'm so good.
You're so good?
Yeah, I'm really good.
You're getting ready to leave.
I'm getting ready to leave for a really long time.
It's really exciting. Tell everybody where you're going again.
I have been hired by the Second City, if people know what that is, the comedy place. Improv sketch comedy, Second City. I've been hired by this esteemed organization to go on a new Norwegian cruise line.
All I love the Norwegians. They're the good Scandinavians.
Well, I've never been on a cruise line, and I've never been to Norwegia.
Norwegia. Are you going to Norwegia? You're not going to Norwegia.
We're actually going to Norway.
Oh, you are?
Yeah. Well, this
I should introduce you to my friend Karen Olsen.
She
was an exchange student when I was in high school. She was mine and my old boyfriend, who's now gay, Jerry. She was our really, really, really good friend.
That's
They're
funny,
very free and footloose and crazy fun in Norway. She's in Oslo.
My old high school, I think I mentioned every time I'm on your show too, she makes my jewelry, who was my high school friend slash girlfriend briefly and then is a lesbian. And
yeah, we all have the same story?
Yeah, and we had a mutual friend who was an exchange student and her name was Ulrika. And she was also from sort of Scandinavia.
Yeah. I dated a Swede. They're fucking nuts. But
I like the Swedes.
Do you?
Oh, yeah, I have this one of the girls in our circus, you know, in the Midnight Circuses. It's this girl named Yolanta, and she's Swedish. Mm-hmm. And first of all, she's stunning. She's like, looks like a supermodel.
Yeah. Well, my ex was stunning.
Secondly, she may be the funniest person I've ever met.
Wow.
And I know some funny people.
The Swedes are not generally very funny.
Oh,
I mean,
God,
think of a Bergman film.
I once asked her what
Bergman
she thought.
Bergman film is what my relationship was like, a Bergman film.
That's bleak.
Bleak?
Yeah. No, Yolanta's funny. I once asked her what she thought of somebody, and she said, "I don't like him. He has old penis." And she wasn't joking. It wasn't like a language barrier. She was funny. So anyway, so I'm traveling around the Mediterranean mostly. So literally we start in Cadiz, Spain, or Cadiz, as they say.
Cadiz.
Then we go to Barcelona.
Barcelona.
And then we go to Portugal.
It's good for the homosexuals with the syllabate S.
Yeah, we like it. Portugal, Greece, Italy, France, Istanbul, Morocco, Egypt. Then we go around the Rock of Gibraltar and go up to...
I still want pictures of you in Egypt. Can you get a little black hair piece in front of a pyramid?
You know I'm
I'll post it on the new blog that we now have on the Queercast.
Exciting. I'll definitely take pictures. I mean, how can I not take pictures
how
in front of the pyramids?
How can you not have some funky-ass Egyptian eyeliner on yourself a wig?
Yeah, if I'm going to be in full Cleopatra drag.
Would you be in full Cleopatra drag with your cute self? Or like one of her little minions?
Oh, my
God. Like in the little loinclothy dress.
What if I'm dressed as like a sacred kitty cat or something?
That would be really... A sphinx. You little sphinx. You.
It's funny because
I could have made you a whole costume and I didn't even think about it.
Well, it's funny because we talked a little bit a couple of weeks ago, I think, or maybe it was a month ago now, when you had gone to Jamaica and there was a whole issue of like gays in Jamaica. And
yes, it's snowing now here in April. Happy Easter.
Sometimes it snows in April. Which is my favorite Prince song, by the way. And so I was just...
Di, my editor, just loved you for saying that. She's a huge Prince fan.
Really? Is she?
Yes.
And she knows, she must know that song.
Yeah, the Lish. She loves him.
And so it's just been interesting because some of these places, like, you know, is it the best place in the world for gay Jews right now to be in Egypt or Turkey?
Just fake it.
I mean, you know, not that I'm going to, like, wear a t-shirt. Just
butch
like,
it
I'm
up.
I'm not gay,
and...
but my, you know... Yeah. Jewish gay boyfriend is.
Yeah, but goy him it up and butch it up.
Okay,
is that
Amy,
right?
Look me in the
goy
face.
Goy it up and
first
butch
of all,
it
listen
up.
To my voice. And no Amy has the benefit of looking in my face right now.
Yeah.
Could I possibly A, goy it up? No. Or B, butch it up?
Well, I'm telling you that I am going to have the funniest interview, and that's going to come out in a couple of weeks, where Richard Knight Jr., our movie queen, our critic, tells me that potentially in a new film, Helen Hunt could come from the loins of Bette Midler, which to me is hilarious.
That just made me sick to my stomach.
Yeah, it makes me a little, I throw up just a little bit in my
mouth. You know, I hate Helen Hunt. She's my least, she and Felicia
Rashad.
She, Felicia Rashad, and Judd Hirsch are my three least favorite celebrities.
Oh, you're kidding me.
Can't stand them.
So many people used to tell me I look like Helen Hunt, and I so identified her with her on Mad About You, but then I met somebody who knew her and said, you know what? You're far sweeter and happier and sunnier and
can I say something else?
And,
yes.
And
you're way... I don't know about those other stuff because you're really a nasty bitch, but no.
I'm a nasty gash, a bleeding slit.
But you are definitely 100 million times prettier than Helen Hunt.
But I think she's... I loved her on Mad About You. I totally was so... I am so Jamie Buckman, but I have to... I think I've mellowed out a little bit.
I think you should go to Helen Hunt for it.
Da-da-da-da-da-da.
Broccoli! So I'm taking this crazy Mediterranean tour with Second City.
That's so awesome. So you've been doing laundry crazily since you live in my house, I know.
Just getting my shit together.
Yeah, it's hard.
Yeah, like, you know what's really interesting that came up sort of from the sublime to the ridiculous?
Yep.
Or from the sort of silly to the serious... I'm a person with HIV. In fact, I'm an HIVIP. Anyway, feel free to use that, people. Anyway, so I take my medication. So I have to take all my medication with me because I'm going for 4 months.
Wow. Right? Now, do you take a lot of pills? Do you?
No, I don't take that many. I mean, I take 3 a day. I take 2 in the morning, 1 in the morning and 2 at night. And a lot of people who are listening can relate to this.
Yeah.
But I need it with me. You know, I don't want it to get lost. I can't, you know, I need it to have it with me. So A, getting... the pharmacy to give me that many months in advance was a bitch.
Yeah.
Because people don't like to do that, give you that, because they think, why do you want that much medicine?
And even with insurance, is that very freaking expensive?
Very, very, very. Very, very, very.
Is most HIV, I'm just asking ignorant questions now, but are most HIV meds covered under insurance? I mean, they're always covered.
Oh, they're covered. They're covered, but the problem is there's no generics.
Ah.
So you can't get the cheap version. You can get a cheap version of penicillin, or you can get the cheap version of like a antidepressant.
Right.
But you can't get a cheap version of an HIV medication.
Wow.
That's the problem.
Yeah. And also because I guess you have to find the med that works
for
you, right?
That you have that you tolerate the best. And, you know, I the cocktail that I'm on is I tolerate very, very well. And I, you know, I'm knocking on, you can hear me knocking on wood.
On our bed. We're in my bed today.
Yeah, and the headboard. And so, anyway, so it took, that was a bear to get somebody to approve giving me. And then when the pharmacy went to ship it to me, because I get it sort of shipped to me through PharmaCare, they sent it through the mail, not UPS.
Oh, jeez.
Which, you know, and anybody who knows Chicago knows that Chicago is famous for having the worst postal system in the country.
Yeah.
And
then we have all this weather.
Right. And then, we had a snowstorm today. So anyway, so I actually haven't told Amy this. I'm telling you this for the first time.
Yeah, tell me.
I had to go to the post office.
Yep.
Where I was told
that
my medicine was sitting.
Yep.
And it didn't get delivered.
Yep.
But it was, I was told, because I tracked it, you know, that it would be, that it was there. So I go there and I say to the person, my medicine's here, I need to get it. Nope, it's not here. Everything was delivered. I'm like, no, it's here.
Oh, this is Mitchell going postal.
Yes, I literally went postal. And so I actually found out the name of the person who's in charge at this particular branch of the post office.
Uh-huh.
So I did a little research and I demanded to speak with him. And he was a very nice man. And he said, no, it's not there. And I said, I'm telling you it is. And I'm demanding to go back there and look for my mail. He said, well, we can't let you do that. And I said, well, if I don't get my medication, A, I can't leave on this job. or B, I will go and you will have my blood on your hands because I will die. Very, very dramatic, I know. But people who are in my situation
sure.
understand that it's life and death and that it's you can't not take it. You have to stick to your regimen. So I literally said to this man, if you do not let me go back there and find this package, you will have blood on your hands. And he looked at me like I was crazy.
That's okay.
And then opened the door and let me go back there where it was sitting in a bin, pushed in the corner under another bin where it would have sat for God only knows how long.
Oh my God. How did you even know where to look? Did he kind of show you like this is how it's set
yes,
up?
Yes, he's like, see, because this is where the mail, to your street goes to. And I just started looking because I knew what I was looking for. I know what the package looks like.
Yeah.
Anyway, I went crazy and I found it. And I thanked him very much for letting me do it. And he was a very nice man.
Yeah.
Very, very, very nice
Shout
man.
Shout out.
Shout out to him. A very nice man. I won't say his name because I don't want him to get in trouble for letting a pedestrian, like a...
No.
You know, a person back.
A gay Jew.
I wasn't backstage as if everything's a theater. Anyway, so that was my crazy...
The naughty Sphinx.
So that was my crazy day today. So not only did I rehearse...
Oh, my God. But you got to see the inner workings of the post office,
I did.
Which is scary.
And I also did the inner workings of Target today because I had to go shopping for, like, underwear and socks.
Is Target, like, the best
thing Well, the one near
ever.
Us
Yeah,
is
we
so
love
good.
It. We love it. The Target up on Peterson. Awesome.
Let's go to Starbucks the size of, like, the size of the house.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's fantastic.
I love it.
So that was my crazy day today. So while it was both hilarious being at rehearsals, I mean, I'm rehearsing on the main stage at Second City.
Wow.
And if anybody knows, like I mentioned it before, obviously, like if you don't know what Second City is, Google it, you know. But those who do, it's like, it's a major...
They're hallowed
halls. And so like, just the honor...
Juju, the power,
yeah, just the honor
artistry of
being
on
that
stage. Yeah.
It's so extraordinary. And so, you know, not the pressure, but I guess I'm putting pressure on myself because I've never actually done... improv before. I got this job with Second City having never done anything like it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a performer, you know, I've like 20 years
and
of
you're
stage.
A funny guy.
Thank you.
Otherwise you wouldn't be my friend because what
Thank
we really
you.
Talk
what
about.
What would we do have to do?
How would you amuse me?
But like this particular kind of performance I've never done and I got this job sort of regardless of that. And it's been pretty amazing, like a huge learning curve, like taking a master class.
I love that you're going to the Middle East. Jewish that you are.
I know, it's interesting.
Over right after Easter.
It's interesting, right?
I'm going to be sitting here eating chocolate Reese's
Easter
eggs. We just had some. You know what? If that's not the most divinely perfect candy, I remember being a kid in, and I hope everybody got big fat Easter baskets.
If you're Jewish.
Well, I don't care.
Oh, I do. When you're done, I have to tell you what my mother would do for Easter because she didn't want us to feel left out. It's really clever.
Oh, yeah. Well, you can tell it now. Go ahead.
Well, it's just that like, you know, being Jewish, but in a very Roman Catholic neighborhood.
Because Easter's so pagan. I mean, it's not.
But it's, you know, it's like it's not part of the Jewish experience, right?
Sure.
But I grew up in a very Roman Catholic neighborhood. I mean, everybody was Italian.
Right.
And Catholic. And so my mother didn't want us to feel bad. Now, my mother's a nut burger. I might have mentioned that on the show before. She's a nut burger. But every once in a while, she'd pull out something clever. We all had a favorite cereal.
Uh-huh.
As kids, like I loved Fruit Loops. My brother
of
loved
course
Frosted
you did.
Flakes. Yes, of course. I did. I used to draw Toucan Sam all the time. Like on
you
my
are
notebooks.
Hilarious.
And my sister. Loved
I like Fruit Loops and Apple Jacks.
Love them.
I don't ever eat cereal, but if I had to, that would be.
Oh
what
God,
I'd
I
eat
cereal all the time. I'm a cereal freak. Yeah. But my sister loved Lucky Charms, and she always had that weird Lucky Charms breath. Anybody who's ever had somebody who loved
it's kind of stale marshmallow.
Yeah, it's a
powdery.
Sour.
It's kind of powdery.
Yeah, sour. So anyway, so my mother would for Easter. What my mother would do is. Save an empty box of our favorite cereal as a kid and then take the top of and then fill that box with Easter candy.
How
as
cute
opposed
is
to having
that?
Like a basket and doing the whole traditional thing.
Yeah.
Really cute. And especially for my mom who's not like my mother makes a hell of a brisket and a nice chicken soup.
Uh-huh.
But not she's not a particularly creative she's not one of those moms who like made homemade Halloween costumes.
She's not crafty.
No.
Like Amy Sedaris, our last guest.
She's so not crafty, Amy.
Yeah.
So the fact that my mother came up with something sort of cute and clever like that was really personal is sort of miraculous and totally an anomaly of my childhood.
It's
a sweet
so
memory.
Precious. Yeah. It's totally, totally sweet.
She was cute.
Well, I was raised Christian. And so, you know, we always had the Easter egg hunt to talk to my family today. And they're like, it's a balmy 65, you know. But you always felt a little weird wearing your dress and my little anklet socks and my little hat.
Oh, I would kill to see pictures.
I do. I have some. I don't know if I can post any of them. I'd have to scan them. But anyhow, this goes back to chocolate because it's where my head is because it's the best thing in the world. And
it
it's just a whole holiday about chocolate, which I really love. But the Reese's peanut butter egg is so radically different than the Reese's peanut butter cup.
It is different.
And the mini cups, they all have a very distinct thing about them.
You've thought way too much about
them. I have. Or the little, now they make the little
I wish you
Reese's.
Could see her eyes. She has such
I'm like
crazy,
salivating. Get it out of the corner of my mouth. Right now. I have crazy chocolate eyes right now. But you know, Kelly, my girlfriend's mother, sends me these huge boxes full of Reese's peanut butter eggs. But when I was a kid in our elementary school, they would sell them like wrapped, like a, I don't know if a mom made them or the cafeteria made them, but you could buy them for like a quarter or something, and they'd be homemade ones. Ooh. Where they would wrap them in cellophane and you'd get an egg. And that's when I got attached to the crack, which is where it happens to the kids nowadays, you know, on the playgrounds.
On the playgrounds. It is.
That was my crack.
I'm taking off my socks. Do you mind?
No, please. I love your cute little feet. So anyhow, it's Easter, and for those of you not in Chicago, we had a snowy Easter, and now it's starting to warm up. But this week,
yeah, because Passover is coming soon too. I'll be on the Norwegian Cruise Line during Passover. Hope I get to have a Seder.
Did you hear who also went on a cruise? Was that Danny Noriega?
Yeah, with Rosie.
Cruise,
right?
With Rosie.
I think he's cute. You know what?
I think he's adorable.
I get pissed when people diss him because you know what?
I think he's cute, but I think he's trans.
He might be.
I think he's totally trans.
He might be. Who knows?
He's totally cute.
Well, you know what? He offends, unfortunately, straight America because he's...
He offended Alexander Billings. Listen to our last show.
She couldn't stand him.
And I'm like, I really loved him. And I really thought
I love him too.
I really think he's just not quite in his skin yet because I felt like he tried to butch it up.
Well, he's a baby.
And he's totally a baby. And I felt like if he had... I really do. I know I've made this joke, but I think if he had just gone out there and just been the big ol' flaming... you know, black woman trapped in a 16-year-old gay male body, I think he would have taken it home. But who knows? You know, we're going to discuss all that. We're going to take a break
and
come back and talk about Idol and the big black woman trapped inside.
Speaking of, but we also talked about Obama's speech.
There you go. That's what we're going to talk
about.
Awesome.
Okay, good.
I'm tying it all together.
Well, I've been meaning to talk to you about it all week.
American Idol.
Yeah. All the big stuff.
And Gay Idol, which you read.
Gay Idol, yeah.
So much stuff to talk about. We'll be back.
Crazy.
Hello, radio listeners. I want to take you to a place far, far away, a theater. Go ahead, close your eyes. Unless you're driving, that would be bad, but otherwise, go ahead, close your eyes. You're walking into the theater. You're going to see that musical that all your friends have raved about, a musical that has received love letters from critics, tons of Tony Awards, and thunderous ovations every night. You settle into your seat, you are told to turn off your cell phones, and you do so, and then it begins. This marvelous, comedically inspired piece of theater full of delightful songs, madcap moments, and an ultimately moving climax. You laugh, cheer, applaud, and then it happens. You finally discover what that crazy, somewhat obscure title refers to, for at last, she stands before you in all her somewhat inebriated glory, the drowsy chaperone. Radio listeners, believe me when I tell you, you are in for an extraordinary treat. The Drowsy Chaperone. Unusual title, perhaps. Unforgettable evening, most definitely.
Coming to the Cadillac Palace Theater April 1st through 13th. Call 312-902-1400 or visit BroadwayInChicago.com.
Culture.
Club.
Culture.
Club.
Culture.
Club.
Theater. Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of March 24th, 2008, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Gay playwright Joel Drake Johnson, author of Before My Eyes and The End of the Tour, is back at Victory Gardens with his latest dark comedy, Four Places, serving up family dysfunction since 1955. Family drama unspools over an unusual lunch date. For a dose of delicious family humor mixed with a bit of heartache, go see this surprising new comedy playing now through May 4th at Victory Gardens Biograph. Call 773-871-3000 or visit victorygardens.org.
Remy Bumpo Theater Company presents Bronte by Polly Teal. This inventive drama explores the question of how a trio of Victorian spinsters could have written some of the most passionate literature of all time. Bronte runs March 20th through May 4th at the Victory Gardens Greenhouse Theater, 2257 North Lincoln Avenue. For tickets and more information, call 773-871-3000 or visit remybumpo.org.
Writers Theater presents As You Like It by William Shakespeare, directed by William Brown. All the world's a stage and all the men and women merely players. A courtship with a twist, men in exile, a melancholic wit, a clown, a lovesick shepherd, all swirl together in a wild romp. Some of the most charming scenes ever in this most perfect of comedies. For more about As You Like It, log on to writerstheater.org or call 847-242-6000.
Court Theater reimagines one of the greatest musicals of all time, Rodgers and Hammerstein's Carousel, now playing through April 13th. When carnival barker Billy Bigelow meets mill worker Julie Jordan, fate sends them both on a journey that spans heaven and earth as they explore the limits of love, human frailty, and redemption. For tickets, visit courttheater.org.
See what the Chicago Sun-Times calls some of the most dazzling acting you will ever see anywhere. A Steady Rain at the Royal George Theater. Quote, a must-see smash hit drama, a sizzler, says the Tribune, and one of the top 10 productions of 2007 by the Tribune, Daily Herald, New City, and UR. A Steady Rain. Two Chicago cops take a routine domestic disturbance call that changes their life forever. You can save $10 on tickets. Enter code STEADY in the promotion special offers box on Ticketmaster.com.
For more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Hey, this is Cindy Lauper. Big shout out to Windy City Clearcast.
Give me a call. I'd love to hear from you. Dial 312-21-BE-GAY. And we're back on the Windy City Clearcast, sitting here talking with Mitchell Fain about the important things in my... Do you like my espresso colored walls in my new room?
I love it.
It's very sexy, right? It's very gay man. I
you do have exquisitely gay man taste.
I have very exquisitely gay man taste, but
which is funny because I don't.
You don't? Well, you're more lesbian than
I am.
Except that I fixed you.
No, I'm less lesbian. You know what I am? And this is funny because if you know me, I'm like clearly like this queeny little Jewish boy. I'm a frat boy.
You are a frat boy.
I am. But
you don't smell like a frat boy,
no,
and I know
like
your apartment.
That's because I'm Jewish
totally
and we're hygienic.
Cute. Yeah,
it is. But I have frat boy mentality.
You do have frat boy mentality.
I know. Isn't that weird?
And you think frat boys are cute, and you kind of attract them like a little.
Yes, I do.
Like a little flame.
I am. I'm
like a
bug,
little flame.
Like a bug light.
Yes, you are. You're just like a little
they
bug
do,
light.
They do love me. Luckily, I'm in a circus, so they're all around.
They all creep around you. No, what a week it has been. Let's talk about. We were just talking about. Danny Noriega and American Idol, but you were a gay idol this
week.
I
was a judge at the Windy City Gay Idol.
And, you know, we've had some amazing, you know, it's interesting because we've been to Stargaze, Jackhammer, and now Mary's Attic. We've had a guy and a girl place at each event, which is really unusual. Sometimes we'll have two guys or Stargaze right. Usually is two women. So we're 3-3 right now. And I just thought we had such an amazing time at Mary's Attic.
Well, I had a blast. First of all, I got to hang out with Jinx and Steven Rader.
Yeah.
Who clearly, anybody who listens to this podcast knows that I'm madly in love with Steven Rader.
Yep. And Jinx Titanic, I am
Jinx,
in love with.
Well,
he's
going to
be on the
hell.
Next show.
Steven thinks I'm kidding, by the way. He doesn't know that like I really like...
He's listening to the podcast.
I know.
So just...
He doesn't get it. He thinks I'm joking.
No, I thought y'all had gone off and had sex after
I'm
Mary's Attic. I
in
thought all
love.
Three of you, the
oh,
cute bald men.
Y'all, we were.
Do you know what y'all were? You were like, I like
hear no evil, see no evil, speak no.
I thought y'all were like Mama Bear, Papa Bear, and Baby Bear.
Oh my God, well, I'm the little one.
You're the little one. But and then we had Gabrielle Alexandra,
right, exactly.
who was running the Marioki after our karaoke. Who was so fun. But the three of you, these cute, sexy, bald gay men.
It's funny. We were like this
And
big...
you were like Papa Bear, which would be Jinx Titanic.
Yes.
Mama Bear, which is totally Steven Rader. And Baby Bear,
baby
or Frat Boy Bear. I don't care.
Because
I'm
only 5'3", so I'm Baby Bear.
You're totally
It was
baby
really
bear.
Fun. I'll tell you what's fun.
And I thought y'all all went off and had a three-way. And in my head, I was like, wow, that's a YouTube
listen,
video.
From your mouth to God's ears.
I was like, the three of them are flirting so
oh,
bad.
Oh, God, it was so
Are we
sexy.
Having a competition up on
I did
stage
get
or
one
not?
Of the. I have to say, this is totally inappropriate, but I did get one of the singers' phone numbers.
I know you did. Don't tell who.
No, I won't say, but...
Only those, like, 700 people that were there would know.
No, because I announced it, but then I literally did get his phone
I
number.
I saw you get his number.
I have to say, what's really fun about it is... Well, there's several things that's fun about it. A, it's just really fun, like, it's like a party.
It's such a
so
party.
So if you guys haven't been to the Windy City... I mean, I know it sounds like an ad, and that's not sort of my
It's so
my
not an
yet.
Ad. Like, that was one of the... It's just been so
It's like
fun
a party.
It is a total party.
So it was a huge turnout. It was a party. I saw a million people I knew.
And it was packed.
Packed. And Mary's Attic, I have to say, is a great location for it because it's really,
yep.
has a, they have that
packed,
sort of
packed,
stage.
Packed.
Anyway, but so it's fun because, and then people just show up and it's like just, you know, not to get all sort of new agey and Oprah-esque on you, but it's very community. You know, it feels
yeah.
like when I get cynical about the quote unquote gay community, which I can do a whole rant
Can't
about.
We all?
Then something like that happens. I think, well, really, because it was there was gay people, there was straight people, there was lesbians, there were gay men, there was like old, there was young. I mean, it was...
There was such a mix. There was racial
white,
mix. There
everybody.
Was male, female.
I loved it.
There were straight people there supporting
there
their gay friends.
There were crazy people.
There were crazy
people. I won't
people.
Say who they are. I won't say who they are because I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. But what's fun about it is that some people are really good singers.
Yep.
Some people aren't really good singers, but they're really game and they're having fun and it's like karaoke. Then there are people who are so shitballs crazy.
Yeah. Or drunk.
But no, I think sometimes like mentally ill. Like in a funny, I mean like not funny, but like there were a couple of people that, let's be honest, that I don't know how they get from A to B.
But they're their own.
Adorable.
They got their own freak on.
Adorable.
Mendoza has his own freak on, which I love.
Yes. I'm just saying adorable, but trust me, like bat guana crazy.
But you know what? We got two amazing winners out of it. We got Sexy Corey.
Oh, she
who placed at Mary's Attic last year. And I thought she had a good voice last year, but she really upped her performance
game.
Oh,
she sang Black Velvet, right?
Yeah, she was really great. And that song, when I start to hear it, I'm like, oh, God.
No, she sang
not
it. She made it her own.
She totally
That's what Steven said.
Made it her own. And she's connected with it, like mind, body, and soul. It was really sexy and fun. And then we had Mike, who has been doing some non-equity theater around town.
Musical theater.
And he was in Songs for a New World. What an amazing.
Wow,
he sang Clay Aiken. He could sing. He has, if he can get his performance in his body and start to really be a showman.
Are you listening, Mike?
Mike, I told him, I walked over to him and I said, Mike, you need to stop making it look so easy because what you're doing is incredibly fucking hard.
Right.
And you have an amazing, I think he has the best voice of anybody in the whole
he
six
definitely
years.
Has, he
just
definitely
is,
voice,
he is not the best performer yet.
No.
And if he could get it in his body and really make a point of saying, like, I am hitting a really extraordinarily high note, you know, with
his hands tone.
Up. He is magnificent.
Yeah,
I mean,
he is
magnificent. He's not a showman.
You do a very good job hosting, I have to say, too.
Oh, thank you.
You do. People, you know what's nice about it is, like, I'm sort of blowing sunshine up your ass because I'm going to be gone for 4 months.
Okay, do, because I need it because it's snowing and I
I'll
be in Egypt lying on the Nile and I'll be here in the snow.
I hope I don't get bit by an
ass. All right, blow. Go, baby.
I'm just saying that
Gabriel.
You make people feel very comfortable. And, you know, when you make the crowd feel comfortable. You sort of make it feel like it's a party. And, like, basically it feels like Party at Amy's.
Cool.
Party at Amy's.
Hey, Mary's Attic would totally be my party room.
Yeah,
I
so
love
it's nice because you have that quality that you make people feel like, come on, y'all. We're having a party in the backyard.
Y'all.
Yeah,
Daddy's got a barn. Let's
put
on a show.
Southern hospitality, it's nice.
Aw, thanks. I have a good time, you know. When they start getting really boring and I dread them, I'll stop doing it. But for right now, I just have so much fun. And we had so many new people come out. I wanted to say that we had this guy, which we people sing Prince from time to time, but we had this guy, Jason, who I know missed placing by one vote. He was extraordinary, who did
Kiss, right?
Kiss. And that is a hard freaking song, and he knocked it out of the park.
He was amazing. Plus, holy crap, was he good looking.
He's beautiful, and he just needs tighter pants and tighter shirt.
Yeah, Jinx, that's what Jinx kept saying. Jinx kept saying,
slut it up.
Yeah. I think Steven Rader yelled, show us your cock at one point.
I'm sure.
No, that was me.
Duh.
I'm just blaming it on Steven.
But it was really, really great. And then we had the girl who basically was Girls Gone Wild stripping, whose name was Amy. What is up with people named Amy?
Oh, my God.
She was seriously, like, needed a pole.
It was like, it was Girls Gone Wild.
I'm telling you folks, you're missing it.
No,
missing
I'm
it if you're not
I'm
an idol.
I'm a middle-aged man. And
I was totally a little blushing and
I was too.
I was uncomfortable.
I'm middle-aged. I've seen a lot in my life, you know. And I'm not a prude in any way, shape, or form, but I was not uncomfortable.
I was a little nervous. I kind of wanted to play with her, and then I went, she's a tad too serious for me, and she was a pretty girl.
Oh, she looked good.
She had hot-ass legs and ass.
But
to sexualize her just a little bit for all of you listening who really want
to
know.
You didn't have to sexualize her. She was sexualizing herself, and it was a little bit weird because it's like, I get it, but it is a singing competition.
But it wasn't that playful. There was something that really made me feel like in a minute she was going to go down to the dollhouse, or what's it called now? The Gold Club, or I don't know what they call it.
The
down
Admiral?
Next to, it was, well, the Admiral. That was she, Lord. No,
I've
no,
actually
no,
been to the Admiral.
Have you? That's hilarious.
Well, because I have all these like straight boyfriends, like all these straight
boys.
Like frat boyfriends. I do have a lot of
y'all. Call me next time. Now, don't be hiding all your candy to yourselves.
Oh,
I'm sharing my Reese's
we
eggs with you.
Had, I mean, I literally had the best.
I can't believe you didn't have a gag reflex all the time because kind of the full on nude.
No, I want to be their friends. I want to be like, That's my thing. It's like, I want to bond. I want to bond with them. But I do. I have all these like sort of young, they're not really frat boys. That's not fair to say. Like all my circus boys, you know, they're like 19, 20, 21, 22.
It's right down the street from us too, kind of.
Yeah, exactly. And when I was living with Alex and Chrisanne, it literally was up the street. And so I have been, and it's really funny.
Yeah, it's wild, but
it's
different.
They get totally naked.
No, I know. That's why I said I can't believe you have a gag reflex, because there's a part of me
I like some of the illusion.
No, I like some. No, I like the boobies, but I like some of the illusion. Plus, you can't have a cocktail, and so that just seems kind of weird. That's why they can be nude,
because you can't drink.
Right. It just feels a little more like guys should just be jacking off in here because they can't even drink. You know what I'm saying?
It's funny. It's funny because you can be young, right? You don't have to be drinking age to get in.
Yeah. It's really weird. It always makes me think of like the all nudie kind of places make me think of this movie. I don't think I've ever talked about this in 10 years of radio.
Well, last time we talked about
all this shit that I've never talked about Cougar Ford. Why is it about you? Is it because we're in bed together?
I don't know. Maybe
I just feel so intimate with you, Mitchell.
Oh my God.
I literally have sat on the couch for the past 4 nights. And with Kelly, and we're watching television. It's late at night or something, or just hanging out and talking. And I'm like, do you realize Mitchell's about to leave for 4 months? It makes me a little sad. But anyhow, before I get sad, let me talk about porn.
All right, go ahead.
So when I was, you know, when you come out, which I came out, I mean, when I really came out, I was like 21.
Uh-huh.
And I'd always dated guys. But, you know, I was a cinephile. I loved movies. And my boyfriend, Jerry, who's now gay, who should really just come on one of these podcasts, because I talk about him so freaking much.
Come on together.
Yeah, that would be great. They'll be up sometime this summer and we'll do that. But, I mean, Jerry and I are just cut from the same cloth, totally my soulmate. And he worked at a place called The Video Guy. You know, this is circa 1980s. And so we watched a lot of movies. Like, I watched everything from old Divine movies to we would find old Warhol movies. And we watched, of course, blockbusters and whatever. But we kind of prided ourselves in the artsy shit.
Right.
So he got me really into things like Peter Greenaway and Ken Russell. And, you know, he was the person who I always said that he got the farthest with me he'd ever gotten, like, sexually. Like, we took a huge leap because he rented The Hunger one night.
Ooh.
And he really, I got my freak on with him that night. Now, we didn't go all the way. But, I mean, it's Catherine Deneuve and Susan Sarandon, and I had never seen that totally, you know. But anyhow, I would do these, which nowadays, I know you gay boys do it all the time. I can't say that I do it very much. But you just kind of have these... I would have these canonized weekends where I would rent like all Meryl Streep movies and I would watch them all, right?
Yeah, film festivals.
Film festivals. You know, nowadays the video DVDs come out as collections, like, you know, the whole Joan Crawford collection will come out and you'll watch all that. Well, I, one time, back in the 80s, I was totally crushed out on Kathleen Turner. I just thought the whole Romancing the Stones and Jewel of the Nile.
She was
and
sexy.
She was so freaking sexy. Body heat. Well, she made this little movie called Crimes of Passion.
Oh, I've seen it. I saw it in the movie theater.
Yeah, with Anthony Perkins.
I saw it in the movie
freaking
theater.
Creepy movie that I was totally turned on by and totally into. It was this horror, weird, creepy, but she played.
You and I are the only two people who have ever seen it, by the way.
No, we're not the only two people who have ever seen it. I've seen it like enough times for,
you know, I actually think it was
a small
at the
town
cinema. I used to be a projectionist at a tiny little cinema.
Did you really?
In Narragansett, Rhode Island. It was like my college
job. Oh my God.
Shout out Narragansett.
Shout out.
And that was one of the movies that I showed, so I must have seen it like 100 times because I'd show it.
It was such a disturbing film, but something about it, you know, and it obviously had all these different, because she was a prostitute. She was a woman who had a lot of money and didn't need to be a prostitute and prostitute herself. So once again, tapping into the dark seediness of Amy Matheny.
Sounds like my mom. That's not true. My mom doesn't have any money.
No. But I like loved this movie so much. I found it so erotic. And she played this character named China Blue. And she walked the streets in this little blue dress and this kind of white Egyptian looking Cleopatra styled wig.
See how it all comes back?
Oh, I can remember this movie like I just watched it. Like, I've seen that movie a lot. And I haven't seen it in years, though. But I think one of the things that I really found fascinating was it was kind of exploring sexuality in a way that was a bit voyeuristic, a bit exhibitionistic, role-playing. And I was pretty young. I mean, I was 15. I definitely never had.
Because I'm older than you.
I'd never had sex, quote unquote sex, at this point. So it was just, I don't know, maybe I was younger than that. But it was such an interesting film. Why am I even talking about this?
I don't know. I don't know how we got on, but porn. Kathleen Turner. Can I do my Kathleen Turner imitation?
Yeah, please do.
This was years ago.
Bless her heart.
Years ago, she was on the Tony Awards. And she was presenting. It was when she was doing like Indiscretions or something like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, so she, I don't know if she was drunk or I don't know what her problem
probably
was. But she came out.
Because we know she's come clean about that. Yes. Or and come out about
this
that.
This is exactly what she said and what she sounded like. And Ms. Billings can back me up on this. She came out and she said, I'm going to try to do it with a straight face. She goes, "It's been a wonderful year, boy."
Boy.
She meant to say Broadway, but what came out was, "It's been a wonderful year, boy."
That sounds just like her.
Oh my God, and Alex and I literally, we watched this old tape of this, and we must have watched it 30 times. We just kept rewinding.
I might have you do a promo for us on the Windy City Career Cast as Kathleen Turner.
Oh, I'll do it.
That would be good.
"It's been a wonderful year, boy."
Boy.
Hilarious.
Crazy. I was on an island when I was in St. Croix at this gay resort a few years ago. It was one of my clients. It's now closed. Mm-hmm. They gave me a free trip to go down to St. Croix, and she was there.
Really?
And we would just hear, because our place was the gay resort, people from the other resorts would come to the bar at ours because it was the gay resort. Because right. It was the kind of the gay bar. And they would just tell tales, like tales. I won't tell them on the QueerCast because I'm not like that. But
you don't want to tell tales.
Vodka and the orange juice at 10 a.m. and the husband not knowing. And
sweet.
Yeah, fun stuff. But I love her. She was fabulous. Well, in Who's
actress.
Afraid of Virginia Woolf.
She's a
brilliant. And I love
actress.
Her. And I thought she was sexy as hell. And she played trans on Will and Grace. So what could be better than that?
Right?
She's brilliant.
No, on Friends. Wasn't she on Friends? Wasn't she?
Oh, Friends. That's what it was.
She was, yeah. What's his name's mom?
Yeah.
Or dad.
Friends. Yeah, or dad. Chandler Bing. Great. Brilliant.
Well, I think she's brilliant.
That's my dog, if you can hear in the background.
Nella's barking. What's going on?
I don't know. There was a puppy walking earlier.
Doesn't she bark at the bunny in the backyard?
The bunny. Beatrice. Hey, I want to give a shout out while you were giving a shout out earlier. And since we're going to come back and we're going to talk about Barack Obama, I guess, and race, because what's everybody else talking about? But I want to give a shout out to Liz. Liz is a QueerCast listener. She came up to me at Mary's Attic.
Nice.
And I'm really glad she did. We had a really cool conversation, and I really appreciate you listening. And I also want to give a shout out to Matt, who also came up to me and said, "You're a tranny mess." And I said, "You've listened to my show with Alexander Billings." Because I did. So I just want to say it's so nice, because when I did radio, people would call in, probably because we were doing prizes and giveaways and stuff like that. Or they'd just call in because they knew we were there at the certain time. And I love podcasting because of the flexibility and all the different people I've been able to bring on. But one of the things I don't like is that it feels like we're in a vacuum.
Right.
So one of the things I'm going to start doing is really starting to make our website more active with some photos, so you can see some of the pictures of the people that are on the show, and posting more videos and things that I think are fun. And so I'm going to have a blog called Amy Off Air. Don't expect me to do too much with it yet. But because of that, I also have our production editor, Di, who I call Dilish, is going to be doing Lish Dish. And she's going to be posting blog things as well. So what we want you to do is just comment, you know. When I was talking to Liz, she goes, "I've always wanted to post a comment, but I never did. Or I've always actually really wanted to call you." So call us, folks, and post a comment, just so we all know that you're out there. And
it'd be fun to have a dialogue with people.
I love
listening.
It. I really do. I love having a dialogue with you. You know, all you people out there in the dark.
All you beautiful people in the dark.
Yeah, I would love to talk to you. We'll be back. We'll talk more.
Okay.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Edible Underwear Maker.
Mr. Edible Underwear Maker.
Your true genius combined two of man's favorite things, panties and food.
I can taste it now.
They're a snack. They're underwear. They're a snack and underwear. Brilliant.
Two treats in one.
Gorgeous grape. Rock my world raspberry. Bodacious banana.
26 flavors.
And nothing says I want you like a man with a mouthful of underpants.
I want you, baby.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, Mr. Edible Underwear Maker. Because thanks to you, when it comes to panties, extra large means extra yummy.
Yummy, yummy.
And this is your Windy City Queercast news. Republican Oklahoma State Rep Sally Kern, who made headlines when a YouTube video of her anti-gay remarks surfaced, refuses to apologize. Kern, who said, "Homosexuals are a bigger threat to national security than terrorists," confirmed, "I see no reason to apologize for what God says, that homosexuality is a sin." Kern also failed to meet with PFLAG members and others at a recent Oklahoma rally. She had been invited to engage in a conversation.
A divorce court judge ruled that former New Jersey Governor James McGreevy didn't destroy his wife emotionally. McGreevy, who is openly gay, resigned in 2004 after his affair with a man was brought to light. Dina Matos Greevy is still allowed to proceed with her claim of marriage fraud. The divorce trial is scheduled to begin in early May. In related and titillating news, a former aide revealed that he participated in several three-way romps with the couple before McGreevy became governor.
I am strangely titillated by
that. I am
that.
Too.
Not very strangely, come to think of it. The Maryland Senate approved expanded rights for both gay and straight unmarried couples. The Senate approved 30-17 to allow domestic partners to make medical and funeral decisions for each other. The unmarried couples have to meet certain criteria, such as having joint checking accounts or owning property together. The bill will advance to the House for a vote.
A lesbian couple who wed in Massachusetts want their marriage annulled in Missouri. One of the women says she doesn't recognize the marriage and is therefore seeking an annulment. The other woman says that their marriage was legal. The couple wed 3 years ago, shortly before moving to Missouri. Missouri passed a same-sex marriage ban, along with multiple other states, in 2004.
Poland's president recently attacked gay rights. President Lech Kaczynski used anti-gay propaganda to show his opposition of the Lisbon Treaty. Kaczynski said the treaty would affect the accepted moral order in Poland. While footage of a gay wedding was shown, the Treaty of Lisbon is meant to modernize the European Union. Kaczynski doesn't agree with the treaty's cross-reference to the Charter of Fundamental Rights and wants Poland to be able to opt out of it because of the country's cultural differences on issues such as homosexuality.
U.S. GLBT television network Here and Canada's Out TV will be collaborating to produce new original series. Here announced that it has entered into a programming and supply agreement with the Canadian GLBT network. The two networks have worked together before to create a gay detective series. New programs as a result of the collaboration will start airing in the fall.
He officially came out in 2001 after years of speculation, but now, in a Spin magazine interview, REM singer Michael Stipe discusses his sexuality in more detail than ever before. Stipe, age 48, decided that now was the time to be more public about being gay. He thinks that being more open can help gay and questioning youth. "I recognize that to have public figures be very open about their sexuality helps some kids somewhere out there." REM's new album, Accelerate, will hit stores in April. And that's your Windy City Queercast news.
Hi, this is Christopher Lee Nutter, the author of The Way Out, and you are listening to the Windy City Queercast, which does not suck.
We're back. And Mitchell, so Obama's speech, did it change the tide for you? I know you were already on the Obama train,
well,
but they say he's lost popularity.
That
and...
bums me out because I was a Hillary guy. And then I sort of felt like, I think I mentioned this a couple weeks ago.
Yep, you mentioned it last show.
Then I sort of feel like suddenly it's like watching Sybil run for president. I don't know which personality week to week. So I've sort of been moving towards the Obama train. I mean, I think he's just, you know, fantastic. I mean, we're just lucky to have
two great
really exciting choices. But I thought his speech was so extraordinary. I've been waiting for years for someone just to tell the fucking truth.
Yeah.
And he told the truth. He said, "I love my grandmother. She's a racist. I love my grandmother.
Yeah.
She's a racist too.
Yeah.
he loves his pastor. Doesn't always agree with him.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, people say things I don't agree with in church.
All the time.
People say things I don't agree with all the time. Doesn't mean I write them off and out of my life.
He told the truth about something. Now, is there work to be done? Yes. Is race still a big issue? Yes. And the same way that gender inequality is a big issue. I just was so impressed with him just telling the goddamn truth and letting it fall as they may. Now, of course, like when Ellen first came out and everybody said, you can't do it because you'll lose your... And she did. He may have blown it. Because seemingly the tide, people are responding negatively to it. It bums me out because I feel like, really? Haven't we just been waiting for someone to tell us the truth?
Yeah.
And I feel like for the first time in years since I've been old enough to vote and pay attention,
yeah,
I heard somebody tell me the truth.
Yeah.
And I was impressed and I was moved. I mean, I cried and I'm a cynical bitch, so I don't cry very often. That's not true. Everybody knows me as lying because I cry on a daily basis.
We're all laughing.
But I did it. It really moved me, and I was really impressed. And he seems like a cool guy.
Seems like a guy I'd like to hang out with.
Yeah, and now I'm just totally on the Obama train.
Yeah, I think it's nice because I am obviously a Hillary supporter, if anybody's listened to this. But I've never questioned Barack Obama's integrity, ever.
No.
And to me, it was just another wonderful measure of him as a man, of him as a politician.
Now, he was backed against the corner because these videos had been released of this pastor. So he had an agenda, like he had something to prove. But
he could have stepped out of the way and waited, or he could have
just apologized and said, "Just I'm sorry, I don't agree with that guy," or totally written the guy off.
Oh yeah, he took it as a moment.
He took it as a moment.
He has done that his entire. I think he has done that. I think that has been his cachet since he became, it's almost how he was elected to the Senate here in Chicago when he was already a candidate, but when the sex scandal happened with young, cute Republican Ryan and his wife, Jerry Ryan, and them going to sex clubs, and that's, he had to leave, which is why Alan Keyes became the then candidate against Obama, and Obama just rose
and
to that occasion.
Can I just say something? Alan Keyes is a fucking douchebag.
Oh, he's crazy, but his daughter is a lesbian, and she's super
I'm
cool.
sure she's fabulous, but I'm sorry, sweetheart, that you have to
And
have
once
that
again,
down.
You know, she can dislike what her father says and love her father.
Love father.
You know,
well,
this is what we all
father.
Have to do. Candace Gingrich and Newt Gingrich, you know? I mean, we're looking at, Cheney.
Don't
the
get me started
family.
On her.
I'm just saying, well,
don't
whatever.
Get me started on
Mary
her.
Is whatever. But I'm just saying.
I take 6 Paris Hiltons over 1 Mary Cheney.
Ooh.
There's no difference between the two of them. She's a privileged nightmare who wants to be part of our community when it's convenient for her to sell a fucking book. I would rather stick needles in my eyes than buy Mary Cheney's goddamn book. Because I literally take fun, silly, ridiculous, whorebag Paris Hilton over self-serious bullshit Mary Cheney any day. I think she's full of shit. She could have done so much for our community, and she let it go by until she wanted to sell a goddamn book.
And have a baby.
She can suck it.
There you go. You heard it, Mary
Cheney. I said it. And if you want to come after me...
She wouldn't suck it, though, either.
No, she wouldn't. I'm going to get audited.
It's okay. You're good. You're not going to get audited. He'll be dead soon. But, it's really interesting because I just feel like Obama has taken his moments.
Yep.
And he took his moment entering this election. He took his moment with this election. And my support of Hillary's never had anything to do about his integrity. And, and in my perfect of perfect worlds, Hillary will be the candidate and Obama will come back and we will continue a huge long legacy of Democratic... presidential reign.
I mean, it's not going to happen that they're like on the same ticket. But
No.
Awesome?
I think she will have it for 4 or 8 years, and then he will have it for 4 or 8 years.
Who do you
think
she'll pick as a vice president?
I don't know. I really don't.
I don't have any idea.
I think she could pick him, but I don't know that he would come on her.
But nobody's tipping their hat about that yet. Not even McCain.
Yeah, I don't know. People have said would McCain ask Condoleezza, which would be really interesting.
Or I've heard the bandy about Romney.
Oh, good God, really?
I know. Because people think of him as a real conservative, and the whole McCain problem is that the conservatives don't really like him.
Yeah.
But if he picked Romney, then it would give him conservative clout.
I don't know.
Romney has the magic underwear.
He does.
So it's all going to work out.
I don't know. That kind of marriage would scare me. You know, I think he's had his moments. I think it's a beautiful speech. I thought it was a brave moment that he really just stepped up and took up the gauntlet and spoke in an intelligent way. And like you said, he spoke truth. And, you know, I think that's going to...
He didn't speak around it. That's right. Like, he spoke to it.
He really didn't. He spoke right to it. And, you know, I'm from the South, and I can really relate to... I mean, I think we all can. I don't think you have to be from the South. But, you know, as you said, like, I can relate to people in my family being racist. Mm-hmm. I can relate to the fact that
my grandmother used to say... No, I love my... God rest her soul. Yeah, my grandmother, yeah. Bessie, was the best.
We keep talking about Bessie. My grandmother's Bertha, you know.
Oh, the best.
Bertha
she was the best.
They could have had their own pod show. I would have loved that.
My grandmother was the best. She literally, and I kid you not, this is not an exaggeration, she looked like Linda Richman of Coffee Talk.
Yeah.
You know when he does that with the hair and the
yeah.
That's my grandmother. Anyway, she'd say to me, Mitchell, I'm not prejudiced. I like Patti LaBelle. And she was dead serious.
Yeah.
Like, she didn't get how racist that was and how ironic that
yeah.
is.
No. That's very common
now,
for my
grandmother was
people
a lovely, lovely person, you know, and I had a million black friends growing up. And she never, you know, she was always like lovely and, you know, she would never like say anything. Like, she was so darling and, you know.
Yeah.
Come to the house, come to have Seder, just let yourself in the back door or whatever. But she still carried these ancient...
Oh, gosh.
And I think that's what's going on in our country too, right? Even the panic, as he gets closer and closer, there is this panic, this weird knee-jerk reaction to this cultural racism that we still... Same thing with the women thing.
It is. It's interesting. I mean, I think it's just two different balls rolling down a hill, and one is catching more momentum right now, which is the race... because actually the sexism had rolled so much farther down
the
hill.
Well, it's amazing that she's considered part of the establishment, and that's one of the negatives about her. So the fact that we have the first female who has a serious chance of becoming the president of the United States,
right?
And her biggest fault is that she's too much a part of
the male, white male establishment.
She's considered part of that,
yeah.
And that's one of her downfalls, which is so interesting. Like, how did that happen?
Yeah, how does that become a downfall? It's crazy.
Because he represents an even newer America.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well, and it's just interesting because...
She's got to be pissed. It's like, you know what I equate it to?
But she's not pissed at his approval rating.
No,
gone down, obviously.
No, I equate it to the two times that Annette Bening has been seriously up for an Oscar have been the two times that Hilary Swank has won.
I know. We talked about this. My friend Mercedes, if you're listening to New York, Mercedes, shout out, because that is the thing. She was like, that
Hilary Swank.
Damn Hilary Swank. Boys Don't Cry, she deserved
Hilary
it.
Swank.
Million Dollar Baby, she did not. And she
yes,
rocked.
She did.
No, she did not.
Oh,
for
yes,
Million
she...
Dollar Baby over Annette Bening in that beautiful movie where she was the fading actress. What was the name of that movie? Why can't I remember it right now?
You Being Julia.
Being Julia. She
you know
was
what?
So freaking great in Being
she
Julia.
She was great.
Come on.
You can't even touch Hilary Swank's performance in Million Dollar Baby.
Oh, give it up, Mitchell. That that is the thrown together movie that I can't stand.
Loved
How can
it.
You possibly?
Loved it. Ask Miss Billings about it. Chris Ann had to walk Alex and I out like we were
Are
infirm.
You kidding me?
Sobbing.
Are you
like
kidding
children.
Me? Oh, my God. I hated that movie.
Loved it.
Hated it. I thought it was so manipulative.
Loved
I thought
it.
She got it for bodybuilding, not for acting.
No, I thought she was amazing.
Oh,
watch it again.
Oh, God. Oh, no, I don't need to watch it again. I really...
All right,
I thought she was so good in Boys Don't Cry and
so
then
good.
So didn't deserve. I thought that was an absolutely overinflated political win all around.
I thought she was flawless.
Yeah, no.
All right, I have to tell a really dumb story. Can
okay.
I tell...
Okay. And Imelda Staunton, too.
Oh, yeah. She
was I think,
good.
Also in the same year for Vera Drake. And she really...
She was very good.
Fucking blew them all out of the water. If you've not seen Vera Drake, it is a film you must see.
I'll agree with that.
Awesome.
All right, so here's a really funny story.
Yep.
This has nothing to do with anything we've talked about before.
Okay.
Last night
this is the last thing we're going
to
talk about.
Okay.
So we'll have to say
story.
Something good for next
Okay, this
show.
Is funny. Okay. So I have this other friend, Amy, different Amy, actress, brilliant.
It's really not me.
No, it's totally not. It
She's
really
not
isn't.
As brilliant
when,
as me, but
no.
she is somewhat
When you hear this
brilliant.
Story, you'll know for a fact that it's not this.
Okay.
This Amy. It's different Amy. Gorgeous, fabulous actress. Just got back from doing a show out of town. And I ran into her last night at the opening night of a new play at the Theater Wit production of Chemin de Fer, which is a George Feydeau farce. And it's a fabulous show. You should go. Anyway, Amy was there and I was so excited and we sit down and the lights are about to go down. We sit together because I didn't know she was there until the second act. The lights are fading about the second act is about to start. Literally the lights
the
are fading.
The second act.
Second act because I didn't know that we didn't know each other was in the audience the first act. So the lights are fading and she's with this really attractive man, younger, really attractive. Amy's very, That's very
Make
good
sure
taste.
She listens to this.
I will tell her. She'll pee her pants when she tells me. She already knows what story I'm telling. Anyway, so lights are fading. She goes, this is Jake. I go, hey, Jake. So in the silence, the lights are fading. And she goes, Jake left a condom in my vagina.
Jake left a condom in my vagina.
And so the lights go, and I thought she was just saying something like the goofiest thing. She's a very funny person. I thought she was just saying something to like make me like laughing in church kind of thing. Like just to get me to giggle as the lights are going down. Yeah. So the show starts.
Did you giggle? Or were you in shock?
Yeah, I know. I laughed. And then about 3 minutes into the second act, I turned around. I was like, do you actually have a condom in your vagina right now? She's like, yeah.
Yeah.
She did. It fell off. And I was like, why are you here? Why are you at like the... Don't you have to go... Like, I mean, obviously I don't have a vagina, so
Stick
I don't know.
Stick your fingers up there and yank it
well,
out.
Well, that's what she said. She didn't have time because it happened and then they had to get to the play.
Because she was doing him in the bathroom or in the car on
no,
the
they
way
were at
the
her
play.
Apartment and they were having sex and then we got to go to the play and it was in there. And I was like, what are you doing at a play? So anyway, Amy had a condom in her vagina through the entire play.
I love it.
But anyway, she called me today and she said that she went to the gynecologist and they cut it out.
Oh, she had to go to the gyno?
Yeah, because she couldn't get at it.
It's like that episode of Sex and the City where Samantha...
Exactly. That's what I said. I said, I'd do it, but she's going to owe me a manicure. Anyway, that's my funny story. Is that the most hilarious thing? Like, literally, the lights are fading and she just leans over and she goes, this is Jake. And I go, hey, Jake. Hey, nice to meet you. And then she goes, Jake left a condom in my vagina.
In my vajayjay.
Yeah. Anyway, that's my story.
That's a great image. We're going to leave you with that. We hope you turn into Mitchell's next show before he goes down denial.
Down denial.
We'll be back after. No, we won't be back. We'll be back next time.
Who's next?
You. We have another show.
Oh my goodness, we do, right?
Yeah, so we'll do a show, one more show in a couple of days, and
Fantastic.
Then you head out.
I can't believe it.
I can't believe you're leaving me.
Love you.
Love you.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This program is brought to you in part by Bud Light. Bud Light keeps it coming. Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, Amy Wooten, news editor, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast. Queer and now.
Sometimes it snows in April. Sometimes I feel so bad. Sometimes we wish that life was never ending, but all good things they say.